Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I gave a brief outline of these verses. Follow along as we continue at that point today. An outline of this chapter concerning the day of the Lord would be as follows. The ruinous condition, verses 1 through 11. The reaction to the day of the Lord, verses 12 through 18. The royal reign of the millennium, verses 19 through 27. And then, finally, the reminder of the church age to the end of the tribulation, verses 28 through 32. And really, it's not just a reminder, it's the remainder of the church age to the end of the millennium, verses 28 through 32. Now today we want to get back to going through this book. And in chapter 1, it seemed to show the effect in regard to God's people. Their act of incorporating the contemporary religion and world into their worship and life brought on the judgment of God. And although it didn't happen right away, people thought, well, God doesn't have a problem with it, even though they had been preached to about it. And God doesn't always judge right away. But when he does begin his judgment, it's usually quite swift. And you continue in sin, you'll find that out. Let me just share a little special blessing with you, too. I was reading, I shared this with my staff. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All the great resurrection chapter that we see in verses 51 through 58. Of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And that's the problem that we have today. In this flesh, we tend to corrupt the holy and the righteous. We see this, for example, in worship, how more and more of the worship people dress in a way that is not honoring to God, the music sounds more like it's out of hell, and on we could go. The words become less doctrinal and more touchy-feely. But it's not just there. See, this corruptible seems to corrupt the Christian life in other ways as well. The language. All of a sudden, you're using the words that the world uses. And the filthy words the world uses. The corruptible corrupts the personal life as preachers. And Micah said that in these days, the book of Micah, we find out in the second chapter that whoever says it's all right to drink will be your prophet. And there are preachers today telling us that it's all right to social drink. Why? Because they corrupt the holy. We could talk about the sensual dress of women, the disrespectful dress of some men. We could talk about the things that people are doing to their bodies with tattoos and piercings that really were both born in devil worship. And then we could go on to things as just the seductiveness the things that you do in the Christian life. And so this corruptible, because those corruptions will not go into heaven. And so this corruptible at that great day will be made incorruptible, because if I have that corruptible, I won't be in heaven. And so God will change me in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And so we look for that. But you know what? I want to be confident and not ashamed at his appearing. So I can't get all the corruption out of this old fleshly nature that I have, because I have an old nature, but that new nature should be allowed to reign supreme and not allow that old nature to somehow deceive or impress me, to allow the world in. And oh, I wish I could tell you that I always have victory there, but I don't. And I know many of you could say the same thing. Now, as we continue back here in our study, in the end of our present church age, we'll see one thing that will happen as those sins of the flesh, the corruptible that happens in the church and in the worship of God's people. We'll find that as those things begin to prevail more and more, that as the Bible clearly says, and God doesn't lie, and every word is breathed out by God, that judgment begins at the house of God, 1 Peter chapter 4. Now in our text, chapter 2 seems to show the effect on the world, whereas chapter 1 showed the effect on Israel. We live in the last days of the church age before the rapture. Instead of the church impacting the world is impacting the church. At a time when we should be attacking the gates of hell, the world is knocking down the doors of the local church to make it look like the world. So as we look to our text, let us see that it first gives us a warning. The warning is to Zion, Jerusalem. It's a warning for us today. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, we read this, as we think of what I just read from this verse in Joel. Go to the New Testament. You see the judgment that's just happened in the book of Joel. Then we read this. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This then is jumping across the centuries of time to warn us here in these last days of the church age and the tribulation to come. So he says, blow the trumpet. Now to do that was to blow the trumpet one time, very loudly and sharply, for one long blow. It would mean an alarm, just like you have tornado alarms in certain states. And boy, when that thing goes off, people know, go to that storm shelter. Get down there, get to the safe place, ASAP. And so that's what they do. As soon as possible, they get to a place. Well, that's the kind of signal that's given here. Blow the trumpet. That's what they would give it for, to give a signal. This call is very, very important. It's important that you come. Everyone knew to come at this sound. It was the duty of the priest to blow the trumpet of alarm in God's Jerusalem, God's place and capital for his people Israel, which, by the way, in that future day, will be restored to Israel. Now, it is then specified as to what, since they had trumpet sounds for different occasions. This is sound an alarm. It is the sound from the holy mountain, the place in Jerusalem of the worship of Almighty God. The alarm was a loud sound made by either a trumpet or a shofar. Are you with me so far on this? It was not limited to one time after the initial trumpet. In other words, the magnitude of the alarm is such that it needs resounded in order to assemble all God's people to come and find out what it's about. And so this alarm is telling Israel, telling Zion, that she is in trouble. And isn't it interesting? The word Zion has the idea of sunny, but she has now been overcome with darkness at a time when she should be walking in the light. The day of tribulation has not yet come, but it's near. And my friend, as Christians today, we should be walking in the light as He is in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will not walk in darkness. But this world is growing darker and darker. Sin abounds. You're seeing things on television. You're seeing things in the mall. You're seeing things all around you that 40 years ago would have had people locked up, censored, barred. And now is commonplace and considered maybe a threat to society if you don't go along. Well, I want to be a threat to hell. I really do. And that's where those things lead. The local church is the institution that Almighty God, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, has ordained for this age, for which its preachers should be sounding the alarm. Instead, we find too many are teaching in too many pulpits to tolerate the darkness as not to offend. Again, there are those who say, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Well, until I find anything in the Word of God that is non-essential, we don't give liberty to the flesh. We don't give liberty to false doctrine. We're not going to tolerate the false. We're not going to be tolerable. You know, this idea of toleration, we find that the Lord Jesus used the word tolerable. And listen how he used it. He said, Capernaum, if Sodom and Gomorrah had heard what you heard, they would have repented a long time ago in dust and ashes.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Bible plants my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible.